Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. I'm like four. Jitter's ready. Stand by.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm joined here with my co-host, Frank Gao, and I have a good friend, special guest, and fellow teammate for Team Double Star, Brittany Long. Brittany Long has been competing for over 10 years now. She's shot for Double Star for the majority of that time. She took a quick break for college, and she started out as a junior shooter as she was younger. Now, coming back from college and getting back into the scene, you know, she's had to break out from, you know, what was once being considered a junior shooter and developing her own face, her own identity within the shooting community. Before I go any further, Brittany, can you go ahead and kind of give yourself a quick introduction?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been shooting since I was probably 4 years old. I started competing when I was 9, just kind of off and on, chasing my dad around at some local matches. And I started with just a little 22 pistol. And then around 2012, 2013, I started getting into 3-gun and watching that on TV and starting to travel and watch some of those matches. And around 2013/beginning of 2014, I got in touch with Double Star, and they were looking to sponsor a female and a junior shooter, and I shot a match where I got to meet a few of them and tour the facility, stuff like that, and they gave me a sponsorship, and I've been loyal to them. They've treated me like family since then, and even through, you know, that was high school, through high school, through college, they've really taken care of me. I have a bachelor's degree in criminology, and I'm using that now paired with pre-law and social work. And I'm a victim advocate. And, you know, I've taken quite a big break here and there, like in college. We had a really rough attendance policy, so I had to kind of step away from it for a little while and only shoot, you know, local matches and the Mountain State, which my dad puts on. And so that kind of took me away from shooting for a little bit. But now that I'm a little bit older and working, and I'm able to travel a little bit more and get back into it.
No, that's awesome. And I didn't know that you started competing even at that young of age. But I mean, it makes sense. Like, you have really good fundamentals. And when you put things together, you really put things together. But you've, like we said, you've been competing for the better part of over 10 years. We'll call it 15 years. How have things evolved since you first started shooting as a junior shooter into where you are today?
Well, like when I first started, again, I started super, super early. I was, like I said, 9 years old. So that was just my first match. Obviously, I didn't take it very seriously at the time. And back then, I was, every match that I went to, especially because most of them were local, you know, I'm here in Southern West Virginia. And as a little girl, I mean, that was back in like 2009, all the way up to, you know, 2014. So I was the only girl. There were no women, really. So I was the only girl, and I was definitely the only kid. So it was fun. I liked going pew pew and making steel fall, but I didn't really have like a massive drive. It was just a fun thing to do with my dad until I started seeing it on TV. And when we traveled to matches, I saw that there were other junior shooters and there were other women shooting. And I was like, man, I think I could actually do this. But it's changed a ton. Just from, like I said, 2009 to like 2013, 2014, it picked up. Everything changed quite a bit. It was, you know, getting a little bit more popular. But from then to now, I mean, it's things have completely evolved, and I think we've ironed out a lot of kinks. And then we've also, just with certain disciplines and, you know, organizations and stuff rising and falling, there's been so many changes, but, you know, there's been a lot of consistent, familiar faces. So even with all those changes, life changes for me, changes in the shooting community and the sport evolving so much, I've had a really good group of people that I keep coming back to, you know, and everybody has a pretty good time. So, man, it's completely evolved. I like to see that there's more women involved in winning. Ashley Rourke is one of them, which she just got married recently. But she was one. I used to watch Lena Michalik, took some of her camps and classes and stuff. And just watching them when I was really young, they were just kind of coming up, and now they're winning all these world events, and it's really cool. I've really enjoyed being a part of it.
No, that's awesome. And speaking, like, you know, when you were back in a junior shooter, like when you were that age, you were about 14 years old at the time, with Three Gun Nation being as big as it was back then, and that's what you kind of got yourself into. Mm-hmm. What was the pressure like back then? Like, you're kind of new to this. You're not new to competition, but you're kind of new to this scene, and like all eyes are on you. Like, there's only a select handful of junior shooters, let alone females, out there. How did you handle the pressure?
So it's kind of come in waves a little bit, as far as like just that competitive nature of it for me. Like I said, when I started, I was in high school, and or I guess even before high school. So there'd be times where I'd have a really good, you know, stretch where ammo's coming in good for mom and dad, and you know, Three Gun Nation beat on the rise definitely made me competitive. I thought, you know, I'm actually kind of good at this. I might be able to compete with some of these people. And we had like the it was the national ranking. So there was that like composite list, and you'd shoot the classifiers, and then you'd see where you fell. And if you were in the top, I want to say three or five of your category, you'd get an invite to nationals, and then you'd shoot in the shoot offs. That was really cool. That was super fun. And that kind of pushed me and gave me a little bit of drive. But then from there, I also played basketball. I used to play football when I was a lot younger. I was into a whole bunch of different stuff, and, just with school and not wanting to miss too much. Like I said, it'd come in waves. Sometimes, some years, I would be really just in a spot where I could travel a lot more. I could devote a lot of time to practice. But a lot of the times, it was just, you know, what can I get out to, and what can I get by on just sheer talent, no practice at the time. But I'd say it fluctuates. There was, I think, more pressure back then, because when you're, you know, a minority in shooting, or in any community as a woman, and then as a junior, that's, there were a lot of eyes. And there was a lot of, not pressure from my sponsors. I've always been really lucky to have really good sponsors. But there was a lot of pressure that I put on myself, because I'm really competitive, to try to do good and try to beat people. But once I realized too, like, this is what I do for fun. I'm not paid by these companies to show up and shoot. And it's not life or death. Like, I'm here to have fun. This is my hobby. This is a sport that I enjoy. That took a little bit of the edge off a little bit. So I kind of remind myself of that.
Well, I kind of agree with you there, because like, well, we were up in West Virginia together about a week and a half ago from recording this podcast about 2 weeks ago, as a podcast is getting released. And we were up at Shadowhawk doing the 5K gun run. And I told you, I was like, look, I'm keeping this very low pressure. If I get tired, I'm walking. All I care about is shooting right now. Like, I just want to go out here and have fun and have a no pressure event and just see what it's all about and meet the community. Like, yeah. I'm not going to put this pressure on me. And, you know, that's something I haven't done in years, which it felt good to just finally be like, you know what? It's not that I don't care, but I just want to focus on having fun for once. Because there were many years where I necessarily wasn't having fun, and I needed that break to where I can just go out and see what it was like just to go shoot.
Right. And I think, you know, because you've come at it from a whole different point of view from me, even, you know, running a shooting team and having a lot more pressure, and that is your job to go do that and perform well. And there's a lot of eyes on you guys back then. I mean, yeah, that's a whole different field too. But yeah, having you there at the gun run really helped me put it in perspective too, because once you said that, because like I said, I get really competitive and I think I'm extremely hard on myself sometimes. And that was both of our first event of that nature. I've never done a biathlon like that. That was insane. Mm-hmm. So hearing you say, like, I'm just going to listen to Sublime and walk if I need to and chill, that kind of helped me out a lot, because I was like, okay, I don't know why I'm putting all this pressure on myself. I'm not a runner. I'm not, you know, this person that's going to show up and just, you know, burn everything down and all that.
Yeah.
And I had a lot more fun that way. And I actually surprised myself. I placed better than I anticipated I would for a first event like that. But I had a good time. And like you said, it's all about the community. And just, you know, I feel like I've kind of, which we've talked about before, I feel like I've kind of got my spark back in a way. It feels more like I'm reminding myself, this is what I do for fun. And this is like, the community's good. The people are there to help you. And yeah, the pressure is not quite there anymore. I can apply that as I feel like I need to, and then take it away and realize this is stress relief for me. So that's been nice.
You know, you mentioned that I was listening to Sublime, and I probably mentioned it in the previous episode, and it probably will come up again, but like literally the entire event, I had Sublime going outside of getting the state brief and shooting. As soon as I was done shooting, my phone would come out, play would go on, and I'd be going, and like the ROs were looking at me like, are you really listening to Sublime right now? I was like, yeah, I am. Why? Yep. Because it's chill music. And the great thing about it is, like, one thing I learned in like the few runs that I did leading up to the event is it was perfect music to pace to.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have a little app that or a website, I guess, where I put in, if I like a song, I'll put it in and see what the BPM, and then if it's a good running pace song or not. And I did them round about the 10-minute mile mark, and I very quickly realized that even a 10-minute mile pace is not, that wasn't going to apply for the majority of that run. And run is a loose term. There were some parts of that, like, I mean, I know you've already talked about it, but it was like straight up and down. I'm gripping at the roots of the grass trying to pull myself up this bank. So
I was afraid I was going to fall down the hill,
right? Yeah, I slipped a couple of times, and then coming back down, you know, keeping your center of gravity low so you don't go head over heels. But yeah, but anyway, it was fun. I did walk quite a bit, but and halfway through, I was like, there's no way I'm placing even top 50% on this. There's no way. And I, like I said, I surprised myself. I did better than I expected.
Yeah, we both placed in the top third in shooting, and we placed top 50% overall.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. I was really excited about it. Once I saw the score, I was like, that wasn't too bad for a first one. But it was fun, yeah. The community aspect and everything, just, you know, pulling that back together, because I feel like, again, we talk about this a lot, but after the death of Three Gun Nation and just kind of the everything not being sanctioned and Rock Castle, you know, being gone, it was, everybody's been kind of lost. And I feel like now we're finding that again, if it's in different disciplines and practices, different, you know, shooting sports, or still in three gun, we're kind of finding that sense of community again. And that's beautiful. I've really, really enjoyed that.
Now, you know, you and I've talked about this, like at Rock Castle, like you were a child back then and you couldn't really stay around for all the adult activities, so you were basically hanging out in the room with your dad, and while everybody else was out there partying. Now, and not to say you don't get that experience now, because I think you get it in a different setting, so it's pretty good. But to tie it all together, back then you were traveling around with your dad a lot. You know, you were the junior shooter, you had to be with your father, and now you're an adult. How has breaking out of the mold of a junior shooter changed for you? And have you had to set boundaries with your father?
Yeah, like you said, being a junior shooter, that's a, like saying that I've been in it for over 10 years, that's true. But, you know, as a junior shooter, I can't tell you how many times, particularly at Rock Castle, I'd be sitting there on my little laptop doing homework and I could hear the party going on. I was like, oh man, maybe one day. But, yeah, it's been, shooting has been something that, like I said, my dad got me interested in. Him and my mom both taught me how to shoot, and they've always been taking me to matches, but it's particularly like our daddy-daughter thing. Only very recently, like I said, after college, I've started to get back into it and pick up the, you know, amount that I've been able to get to matches. Setting boundaries with my dad, I hate to even call it that, but it's just been different to try to like redefine that dynamic, because it came to a point where I was like, Dad, this is our thing and this is what we always have done together. But at some point, I feel like I have to leave the nest a little bit and go to my own hotel room and load my own mags at a stage and be prepared and show up and kind of not just be like daddy's girl at every single match. So I feel like it kind of hurt his feelings a little bit, but I kicked him out of one of my matches. It's like, this is my first one I'm going to do as an adult. But he understood, and he was like, yes, you have a point, you know. And
your dad's great. Your dad's a really awesome. Good dude. You could tell he's very supportive. He's very excited to see you do stuff. And that's rare. You know, it is kind of rare to see somebody excited about their child doing what they want to do and want to continue that. Usually whenever, right. You know, I don't know, because my daughter is only 10 years old, but it's like when my daughter's like graduated college, and, you know, if there was something that we had daddy daughter time with, it's like, I don't know how I'm going to feel. It's like, well, I got this time back so I can go back and do this other stuff, or I don't want to overburden her with,
yeah,
hey, I want to go with you. Part of it is, yeah, like, I want you to live your life, just like how I live my life from the time I was 19 and I was out of the house doing my own thing. You know, my parents have never seen me compete once. And they're like, oh, we want to come see you compete sometime. And it's just like, do I really want to deal with the stress of that?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love them and all, but it'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think, and that was kind of what I told him too, was, you know, I have this team, they've only ever known me as, there's our junior shooter, there's, you know, little sis Brittany, and I was like, I kind of do want to, like, you know, let my hair down a little bit, not go crazy or anything like that, like, we're here to do a job and compete and be professional, of course, but, you know, to be able to, like, cut loose a little bit and just joke around and not feel like there's my dad over my shoulder. But he is so supportive, and I told him, I was like, it's not like I'm kicking you out of every single match and telling you can this is only my thing now or anything like that. I still have to find some three-gun matches that we can go to together, but he wants to make sure I'm taken care of before I leave. He'll call me on the drive, make sure that I'm good. But before I leave, he's like, you got all your mags, you got all your gear, here's some extra tools. I went ahead and threw this in here for you. I didn't know if you'd think of it. I'm like, you know, I'm still really taken care of. And I guess part of that comes with the territory of being an only child. You know, I'm always going to, mom and dad are always going to make sure I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been different to, you know, transition from, you know, a teenager and then to a young adult and then to just shoot on my own. It's been good. It's been good. And he took it well.
No, that's awesome. And I can't wait to see him come August at the Mountain State 3-Gun Championship. That's going to be a really good time. But the last time we were together, and you kind of already hinted at this, we both discussed him being in a slump. Like, just not everything was getting put together. Like, especially at like a three gun match, just what things weren't connecting. And part of it is like the lack of motivation, I guess you can say, to train. Like, there's so much other stuff going in our lives. And in a sense, you know, we described that due to participating in the same sport for so many years, that's kind of what caused some of that slump. But what has helped you now get through some of those times?
I think honestly, like, the slump itself, I think it stemmed from, I was just kind of like just doing the same thing for so long. I think anybody's going to hit a little bit of a wall. And then not having enough time to practice or the ammo to be able to practice and stuff, like, that's frustrating. And especially for a teenager and 21-year-old college kid, you know, I was just like, you know, and with my attendance record and stuff, at the college I went to, they said you can miss three classes. And we've talked about this before, but you can miss three classes. And if you miss any more, they'll boot you from the class. Well, I had scholarships to keep up with. I couldn't be just dropped from classes like that. So I really did. I hit a wall. I was in quite a bit of a slump. And then, like I said, the death of Three Gun Nation and the Rock Castle, not being available to us anymore. It was like we were all kind of lost there for a little bit. And I just didn't have that drive to get out to practice or that, you know, deep-seated desire to go win. And there were just a lot of different things that were frustrating and just did not keep me motivated. But recently, I've realized, you know, I don't have to just shoot one thing. I can branch out into other things that'll make me better at three gun, which is why we did the gun run. You know, and just meeting new people, realizing like I can find joy in the things that I'm already doing. It's not ever really going to be what it was before. And I have a little bit different perspective now as an adult that, you know, I can make more contacts and travel on my own. And that's a whole different experience. That's been really fun. And I just feel like I've kind of got my spark back. I think that I have this new desire to get out there and be better and win and train and not just shooting practice, but get in better shape and running and lifting all the weights and stuff. I mean, it's been really good. I've been really excited to get back into shooting. So.
No, that's awesome. And it's kind of the same for me, like realizing I can break out and do some other things. I don't have to be the best at everything. And right. It's just a matter of going out and having fun.
Mm-hmm. I still struggle with it sometimes, but I hate sucking at something. I mm-hmm. hate showing up and not doing very good. Or once I read the score sheet, I'm like, okay, there I am. Because I would only shoot one match a year. That's all I could shoot. I didn't have time to practice. I didn't have the amateur practice. I couldn't miss class to go practice. So it was really frustrating. But, you know, now realizing I don't have to be the best of the best. I'm not going to be, you know, performing against other kids or like, you know, it's not quite what it was, but that's okay. It's been really nice to branch out and just look at it from a new lens, start training, getting better. It's been nice.
Awesome. Last one I have for you before I turn it over to Frank is you've been shooting for Double Star for quite a while now. What really drew you to them? And how has your relationship with them developed over time?
So at the time, there was a female shooter for them that we had, me and my dad had linked up with on Facebook. And she was like, you know, she shot for Double Star at the time. And she said, you know, they're really looking for a junior shooter. They're looking for a female shooter. And Brittany's doing pretty good on the scores. She's ranking high in Three Gun Nation. And they're a really good group. They're out of Kentucky. They're fairly close to you guys. You should check them out. So we got in contact with Teresa and Jack, and they were just right from the start. I mean, they talked to us like family. And they're just so welcoming. They wanted me to come tour the facility, and they gave me a spot to shoot in a major match. Paid for my entry fee and just said, just show up and have fun. We know that you haven't been practicing a whole lot. We know that, you know, you're still in school, you're a junior shooter. Like, we're not expecting you to take home any gold. Just show up and shoot, have a good time, and let us get to know you a little bit. And I did, and it was absolutely fantastic. And that the rest is kind of history. I mean, it's just, they've grown with me. They've evolved with me. Whenever I was first starting college, I had a sit-down talk with Nick, and he told me that they'll always support me in any way that they can. He said he understands, like, my education comes first, and I always have a spot on Team Double Star as long as I'm willing to shoot for them, and I haven't turned into some psychopath. And, you know, they've just been like family. They really have. They've taken really good care of me. Whenever I needed new parts or whole new rifle at one point, they gave it to me. They've taken care of entry fees here and there. I mean, they just really made sure if I've had any problems at matches, which is very, very, very rare. I can count on one hand over the past 10 to 15 years how many problems I've had. But they take care of it, and it's done, it's over with. So as soon as I met them, I was like, yep, this is where I need to be. And thank goodness they felt the same way about me. So
no, they have done a very phenomenal job taking care of all of us. How would you say the dynamic of the team has gotten? Like there's a lot of new faces on the team compared to back then. Before it was like Brian Ray, Brian Vaught, which they're still on the team. But there were a lot of, you know, more seasoned guys that were on the team for a longer period. Now it's like, I think we have the youngest double star team there. It, like you, me, Scott Noonan, Rob Hall, you know. And how would you say the dynamic with that team has changed?
Well, obviously, with anything that's been going on for as long as it has, there's going to be some turnover, of course. There's some folks that have decided, you know, I'm going to move on to a different group of sponsors, or just life kind of gets in the way, you know, things like that. But even with that, I think that whenever we all started, when I first started, there's been a ton of people that have stayed right there with it. There's been some people that don't shoot as often and kind of are in the same slump, or at least place in their life where I used to be, where I couldn't shoot as often, and they'll still proudly wear a double star and shoot a double star rifle in some capacity when they do shoot. And double star is still there saying, yeah, wear our colors and represent, and we'll help you out. We'll toss you some discount codes, or, you know. So in that way, I think we're a pretty big group, and there's still that sense of community just in double star alone. But now it's like, just in the past, you know, 2 to 4 years with some minor changes here and there, I feel like we've all gotten really close. The ones of us that have, that shoot more frequently and shoot like the newer, the 3GR 2.0, it's been really nice. I think that we've kind of got our group a little bit more tightly knit. We're hanging out, staying in Airbnbs together. It's been really cool. I make you guys play board games with me and play charades.
We will be playing Cards Against Humanity next time we're all together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, just to be able to, obviously, like, a gun run's not in your anything you've ever done competitively before. And I was just like, hey, you're coming to this with me. And you're like, well, I guess I don't have a choice. I guess I'm going. And now we've got Scott saying he's going to come. And I have a local club match. I've not shot USPSA in years and years and years. And that's never been a discipline that I've been, you know, super competitive in. But I texted Rob in the group and I was like, hey, come shoot this match over here in Southern West Virginia with me. It's this weekend. And he was like, okay, I'm registered. I'll be there. And that's just, it's really cool. Like, having the team to where we can all text each other, we send memes, and you guys are like some of my closest friends. That's something that I didn't really anticipate or foresee as a junior shooter, and it's been really nice that I still have that, and it's evolved into this. It's really cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we have our own little family, and I really enjoy that aspect, like the familial aspect of our team, because you're right, we are literally texting each other every single day.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you know? No, I have to take some of our group chat conversations to church and pray over it a little bit, but
sorry. that's because of me.
Yeah, that's mostly, I was gonna roll you under the bus, but that's mostly.
Oh, I don't care. Everybody knows how I am. I will send the most fucked up memes out there.
Oh yeah.
Those who are really close to me really know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I pick up my phone throughout the day and I'll read it and I'll laugh and then I'm like, okay, time to pray. Thanks, Matt. But yeah, we have a really good group. We really do have a good group of guys. We're all good friends, and I think we've got Scott convinced to join the dark side and start doing the run guns. So it's cool. And Nick, he doesn't shoot as often as he did before.
I think he's going to start picking it up some.
Oh, is he? Cool.
I think so. Like, he's got a Tokarev 12 gauge to start, you know, he's switching to open. So I don't think he'll be as frequent as we are, because I mean, he's got kids in high school and everything, and they're involved in soccer and music and all that type of stuff. But I think he's going to be there whenever he can.
Right. That's awesome. I know that he's started leaning more towards his Nick Collier Media stuff, and he's taking pictures and doing some filmography. Well, I'm not very well versed in that field, but you know, filming some stuff and piecing it all together and editing. That's been something I think he's finding his spark for, and that's really cool to see. And
yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where we go from here too.
Oh yeah. No, this is gonna be a good time.
Yeah, sounds like a good crew you guys all got. But Brittany, you mentioned that you and your dad have been running the Mountain State Three Gun Championship since 2018, and that's been a very long time, and I'm sure that the match has evolved in multiple ways over the years. Can you talk a little bit about how the match started and then how it's changed since?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it started with, it was really small. I can't even tell you. It was probably less than 50, I'd say, for our first couple of years, first turnout, you know. Maybe right around the 50 mark, but it was small. And it was more like a club match that we would have to build over time. In any of the shooting communities, it's going to be, you've got to earn your reputation. So we understood that it was going to be a little bit longer of a road to just get the word out that, hey, we have this match down here in Southern West Virginia, and we're going to try to put on good stages with what we've got, and we have a good group. Most of the ROs are actually all of the ROs are volunteers. Most of them are cousins or coworkers, or I know this guy or that guy, or hey, I know you ROed at this other match. And they show up to help. Scott usually comes up to help set up. And but Gaines has helped Dad out quite a bit in stage planning and things like that. There's been a couple years where I haven't been able to take the time to help set up the match and or design stages. Just school was so intensive. And, you know, we've always had a good intimate group that's tried to build it. But now I think it's really picking up speed. Here in the last couple of years, we've gotten good word out. We've had really good turnout. And this past year, we had Andy Horner and Dave Power, and they came out. And Dad was a little bit nervous because he knows that they're you know, these big names of matches and stage plans and stage designs and things. And he was really nervous. He was like, Do you think they'll like it? I was like, yeah, Dad, I think they will. I think it's going to remind them a lot of the Blue Ridge and, you know, the Rock Hard and all their matches that they've had and they've shot in. And, you know, with Generation 3 Gun and stuff. But they did. They came and they shot it. And they had the same opinion that me and you had for this gun run, Matt, where they said, I'm just here to have fun. And I think Andy said he hadn't shot in like, it's like over 7 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was just here to have a good time. And he said that's exactly what he did. He had a great time. It was a good match. And I'm pretty excited for this year. I'm excited for August. Like I said, now that I have more time on my hands, I have a little bit of my spark back. I have taken over a little bit, and me and Dad are butting heads a little bit because I'm like, hey, I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm really excited about it. And he's like, well, slow your roll. Okay. Who do you think you are? But yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. It's grown so much, and it's mostly volunteers. It's repeat shooters that shot it 1 year and they came back and decided, you know what, I want to RO this. I want to help. And it's been really rewarding. We have a really good community we're building over here in West Virginia.
Yeah, it's really great that, you know, these matches have a tendency to bring together really tight-knit communities, and it sounds like you guys have that. I guess my question is, you know, it's called the Mountain State Three Gun Championship. It's clearly paying homage to West Virginia, the culture. So how does that come out and say, and I'm completely unfamiliar, I should know, but the logo, the trophies, the stage design, do you all try to insert little bits of West Virginia and all those facets?
Yeah, so I came up with the new logo for this year, and it's kind of evolved from what it used to be. I think previously there was the mountain ranges, and then we just had the words broken down and then stars on each side, and which is kind of maybe a little bit of an Easter egg to Double Star. But we, you know, it's been, this time around, I did just the state of West Virginia, and, we have the same, you know, letters and things, and, the stars on each side. And then for like the t-shirt and to put on, if we have the big blow up for the banner, the title sponsors, there's Double Star at the top and then SDS Imports there at the bottom. And, I like how it looks, but that was also another thing. Me and Dad butt heads on because I was like, listen, man, I'm doing this for free, okay? And he's emailing me like, tweak this, tweak that, tweak this. You should have done this yesterday. And I'm like, listen. But, yeah, I think we've got it pretty well ironed out. And he is grateful. He's grateful for my help.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, since the match is really a family affair, and you mentioned, you know, cousins, extend family, they all come out to help. And obviously, there are some setbacks with that. Sometimes you get into arguments that you wouldn't get into with other people that you maybe aren't related to.
Right.
But how does it make you feel that, you know, that the entire family is out there supporting this event? It probably feels, you know, pretty fantastic seeing it all come together.
Yeah, we're really lucky, honestly, because they travel quite a ways too to be able to do it. And this isn't something that's in their regular agenda. You know, we have nurses and truck drivers, and they just don't, this isn't something they are doing for them. They do it for us. And they just, you know, take the time to show up and do free labor and work and honestly take a little bit of crap off some shooters sometimes. So we don't have that very often, but they know what they're signing up for, and it's amazing that they're still willing to help us, especially with how needy we've been and how much we're asking of them. And it's not just family. Like I said, we have some good volunteers that come out. But we have had a couple of challenges, just like when you first, with anything, especially if you're new to it. There's still things you got to learn. Like I said, they're not professional ROs, but they've learned quite a bit in the past few years, and they've picked on pretty quick or caught on pretty quick. But we tend to put them with people, like if we do have, whether it's my family or, you know, just a different RO from wherever they're coming from, we'll tend to put somebody that's a little bit less experienced with a more experienced RO, or somebody that's at the very least been in the shooting community for a while. We make sure we take a lot of time to do a good safety brief beforehand, make sure they're keeping people safe and that they're confident to do what they've got to do. So I think we've overcome quite a bit of those hurdles and ironed out a lot of the kinks. But we're so grateful for their help. I mean, and they just do such a fantastic job for this not being something they do, but once a year, they do a good job, and we're pretty grateful.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we talked a little bit about how stage design is kind of, it's unique to a particular match. And I'm sure there's some great ideas floating around for this year's iteration, but are you able to tease out some of the unique dimensions that might surface this year?
I can. So over the years, we've tried to make it pretty inclusive to where it's not something that, and we're still going to stay true to that, to where it's not something that's so difficult that people are going to shy away and not want to shoot it. Because there's a time and a place for that. Like the Blue Ridge match, you knew what you were signing up for. It was going to be grueling. It's a three-day match. It was going to be hell. And then on the other side, you come out and say, I survived it. We don't necessarily want it to be like that, at least at this point in the game. We may do something different in the future and call it something different. But we want it to have at least enough challenge to where, you know, you're not just coming in here and burning it down and just shooting out a bunch of paper. So for this match, I've incorporated a few things. I've been a little bit inspired by the gun run that we went to and just thinking about the old Blue Ridge matches and Rock Hard matches. And we've had like culverts that you kind of slide through before. I wanted to make it a little bit more physical, but not, again, so demanding that people are gonna not wanna shoot it. But the one thing I've been working on, and I got a couple eyebrow raises posting on Facebook, I was asking for a baby doll. And I had a couple people message me and ask me if I was okay. Uh-huh. I'd gone insane. But I found a baby doll, and I have filled it with sand, and it is the sandbag slash baby. It's the sand baby. And I intend to, at some point, the stage hasn't been fully designed around it yet, but the concept is to have a shooter have to carry this heavy 12-pound infant with them and keep it safe throughout the course of a certain stage. I don't know exactly how that's going to come yet. One of the ideas I have is to hold it with one arm and shoot pistol offhand. Maybe we can. I don't know. That's a little bit ambitious. I'm not sure yet. But at some point, you're going to have to run and keep this baby safe. And then we've got some other ideas. We're throwing around the idea of a 300-pound tire and doing something optional to flip that tire. But I don't want to get too far away from what's been successful and what's been pulling people in. But I also want to make it interesting, throw some props in there. Like I said, that's something that me and Dad are like going back and forth on. He's excited. I'm excited. He's like, no, that's just not going to work. And then I'm like, well, what if we do this? So, we're playing with some different things, but I don't want to reveal every card I have. So that's the one thing I'll tease, because I feel like most people have heard me talking about it now.
Yeah. Okay. Heavy sand-filled baby. That baby is definitely going to have some brain injuries at the end of the match, but that's okay.
Oh, definitely.
It's really interesting to hear you talk about it. I mean, you mentioned Blue Ridge. The next question was going to be about Blue Ridge, but you talked about the difference in, I guess, match philosophy and also match culture. Every match has its own identity in a lot of ways, and it comes through in the stage design and, you know, the terrain and a lot of other factors. So, in lieu of that, I guess, you know, people have talked about Blue Ridge a lot. People have talked about Mountain State 3 Gun a lot. Is there another match that you look at for inspiration in terms of what you're putting together for this this year?
As far as 3 Gun matches, the Blue Ridge is definitely one that I think back to very fondly. And then the Rock Hard match that Bruce Davidson did. Those I like for the different props, the different things you had to shoot through and under and on and hanging off of. and that kind of thing is really cool. But aside just from the stages, there's definitely there's definitely just a it brings me back to the Rock Castle days. Again, I was mostly a junior shooter during that, but hanging out and sitting around by a fire, having a beer, and just having that kind of low-key tailgating kind of thing. The Skyline Resort has been like almost, I don't want to say the new Rock Castle, but it's been a nice little area that people, there's a restaurant there, and people have kind of made a good comparison. There's some similarities to it. We're talking about finding a good place nearby to camp, and bringing that into it. I've looked at, like I said, the run and gun that we went to, and some of my friends shooting those. That sense of community I really like, and that's something that I want to bring to this match because, like I said, sitting around by a fire, talking, networking, and at the end of the day, talking about, oh, what'd you do on this stage? What'd you do on that stage? Man, this was my favorite stage, or this RO was really cool, and this is what I could have improved on. What matches are you shooting in the future? Here's this person, let me introduce you. That's the kind of thing that I want to, and I think my dad wants to bring to the Mountain State and build where we've already started. But yeah, I think just having that camaraderie that we had and trying to bring that to here, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good when you can get people to stick around at the end of the match and share drinks and share food instead of everyone just going off in separate directions. But at this point, we're really grateful for you coming on, Brittany, and talking about your path in shooting and also talking about the Mountain State Three Gun Championship. But at this point, is there anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Well, I want to thank you guys for having me on here. This has been really nice. I appreciate it. The only thing really that I want to say is, if you're thinking about getting into three gun, getting into any shooting sports, and you're a little bit worried, like, oh, I'm not going to do that well, or it's intimidating, I don't know these people, just put that aside because this is a good group of people. If you show up and you're missing gear, or let's say you forgot some of your ammo at home, or your gun malfunctions, or whatever it is, there is going to be more than one person, nearly everybody that's going to be trying to hand you gear. There's going to be somebody there, most of us there, that want to help. Don't be worried about where you're going to place. There's always going to be somebody that sucks a little bit worse. There's some times where I go out to shoot and I'm not the best by any means. But I'll go out to shoot and I'll completely blunder a stage. Matt and I have both done it before, and we call that the dumpster fire stage or the train wreck stage. And we might go down 20 places on the leaderboard. Don't worry about that. Show up and shoot, and use that as the next time that you'll next time you shoot, see how far you've improved. But do it. If you're on the fence or you're even a little bit considering it, do it. We need more female shooters. We definitely need more junior shooters. And I want to see as many people as we can get here. It's worth it. You're going to build lifelong friendships and skills that you're going to be really proud of. So come shoot with us.
Very well said. If you have any questions for Brittany, let us know. We'll put you in contact with her, and then let us know how we're doing. Let us know how you like these episodes. Please leave us a review on your listening platform of choice, and we'll see you in the next one.